little bit about some of the great sports broadcasters and whatnot and familiar voices. Who was the first other guy that you started to do?
Well, when I was a kid growing up in San Francisco, we had the Giants right there, and Russ Hodges, who's in the Hall of Fame, was a Giants broadcaster, and we had Vin Scully down the road in Los Angeles, and we used to listen to him all the time. And I played Stratomatic baseball when I was a kid. Used to sit in my room. Everybody else was out surfing, and I rolled these dice and checked these charts. And I broadcast the Stratomatic games as Russ Hodges or Vin Scully or somebody. I did the crowd noises. It was really totally demented childhood, you know. You'd walk into my room, and I'd be sitting there rolling these dice and saying that the 1-1 pitch, base hit.
And then you do Chuck Thompson's a guy who's been he did the Orioles for many years. I don't know if he still does or not. Isn't that
right? Yeah, Chuck is basically retired now. He does some games occasionally if I go out of town. You know, one thing I love to do though is when you go from ballpark to ballpark, each park has its own feel and smell and sound, including the voice of that ballpark. Like Minnesota here, you've got Bob Casey. I love Bob Casey, the stadium announcer. He's like, you know, the angry public address announcer, right? The first thing he says when he's going to do the starting lineups, he says, the organist stops playing, and he says, thank you. Good evening. Welcome to the Metrodome. Here are the lineups. Write them down or you'll be shot. And, I mean, he's so emphatic about it. He's, no smoking in the Metrodome. Don't light up, you assholes.
Oh, the other guy there are a million different people that this guy can do, but I heard you do an NFL Films. You know, Tom likes to do John Facenda, is it?
John Facenda.
Cool December day, right? But you do the guy that took over for John Facenda.
Oh, Harry Callis.
Harry Callis.
Yeah, Harry. Harry's got this great voice, you know. He's like, and then Phil Simms handed the ball off to Harry Walker, and he gained 7 yards to the 2-yard line. I often wonder, you know, Harry Callis, besides NFL Films, does the Philadelphia Phillies baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
And he does the baseball the same way, you know. The 1-1 pitch to Mike Schmidt. There's a long drive into left center field, and that one is out of here. You wonder sometimes, you hear a guy like that. I mean, does he talk like that all the time? Does he talk like that at home? You know, if there's a Harry Callis Jr., is that the way he talks to? Well, Harry Jr., you get into that kitchen and grab the garbage can, and you get it out of here.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, you had Phil Rizzuto on, and
yeah.
I love the Scooter. I always wish that I could work with Scooter for a season, because, and you really have to, I guess, hear him all the time, but Scooter, to me, is like the funniest broadcaster in baseball history. Scooter's to the point now where no matter what he says, it cracks you up. He's got that great voice, kind of like Groucho Marx in the first place, and that real great New York accent. Kind of reminds me of, remember the old show, The Untouchables? And Walter Winchell used to be the announcer,
yeah.
Right? Elliot Ness, and The Untouchable, you know, whatever. I can't even do it this time of the morning. But the great thing about Scooter is that all these years with the Yankees now, it's nearly 50 years as a player or broadcaster, and he doesn't have any idea what's going on anymore. one of my favorites was one night he's doing play-by-play on radio a few years ago, and he does a beautiful description of a double play, second for one, back to first, holy cow, double play, wow. And at the end of... at the end of what? This Sparty comes out and says, that's at the end of six now, Scooter. Holy cow, I gotta go.
I gotta get home, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I've been pumping these guys up for your, I know you guys had a fellow apply for the Orioles broadcasting job from Japan. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, you know, I was in Japan, in fact, last November. The Major League All-Stars took a tour and played the Japanese All-Stars, and I had a chance to hear the great Japanese broadcaster, Genshiro Asami, who is the famed, legendary broadcaster of the Tokyo Giants. And you can imagine my excitement over the first chance to hear the legendary Asami-san. And I heard him, and it kind of put me off a little bit, really, because you know, he sounded just like Vin Scully. Right? He was, Watashi wa Karakuen Stadium ni orimasu. Hajime maeshite dozu yoroshiku lo, ball two, 2-1.
Oh, I've been waiting for so long to hear that.
But,
so
you know, yeah, you could imagine like Bob Casey going to Japan and doing the public address, right? You know, Konnichiwa! Hajime maeshite! Arigato! Nakamasaka! Arigato!
Ladies and gentlemen, John Miller.
Oh, boy.
John Miller, broadcaster for the Baltimore Orioles. You're in town for the three-game set now. Of course, tonight, tomorrow, Sunday.
Oh, God. Yeah. Should be a lot of fun. The Twins, I think, are not only one of the best teams in the American League, but to me, one of the most interesting and exciting teams. Great offense and so much talent. Kind of a throwback, really. To me, they're kind of a swirling team. You know, they a lot of color and a lot of personality. Mm-hmm. I understand having a little bad blood right now between Frank Viola and the ball club, Jeff Reardon. I'm sorry to hear that. That's one advantage we have with the Orioles right now. Tom Boswell, the excellent baseball writer with the Washington Post, this spring had the idea that maybe the Orioles were the only happy team in baseball because they had all these young guys, almost all rookies. And you know, and our guys are completely the opposite. You know, we have so many rookies, and they found out that they were making $68,000, the major league minimum, and they were like, what? $68,000 in the same year? Are you kidding? What? Whoa! And these guys are like, you know, they're like volunteering to stay after games and you know, clean out the stadium. It's a great thing right now. Nobody is jaded. Nobody's it's a little difficult for me to get excited about this season when I'm only making $1.8 million. I'm pretty much underpaid, and you know, they're all offering to take us out to dinner, the broadcasters, and it's great, and they're all excited. They have no idea how good they are or if they're any good. They faced Roger Clemens the other day. They fell behind, which immediately for us hardened veterans up in the press box, we knew that was it. They were doomed. And they promptly went right out and took the lead and eventually won the ball game. So, you know, we're having a lot of fun. I don't know how many victories they'll have. You can't be too confident with this kind of a ball club. But then on the other hand, again, who knows? It kind of, I think, puts the Orioles back a few years into the situation where the Twins were, when Gaetti and Herbeck and
82.
All those young guys all came up together, you know.
Sure, 1982, same situation.
That's right.
Now, Johnny, before you go, you know, Jeff Passel does a pretty good Vin Scully, and we understand you do a very good Vin Scully. Is there any way we could set up like a dueling Vinny's situation?
Well, I'll do my quick Vin, but John, I know, comes up with, he has all the lines down, the verbiage perfect.
Well, just, if you go back and forth, just, you know, a little dueling Vinny's, just a little bit. Jeff, go ahead and start, and then Johnny, if you'd like to take it up after that, and then Jeff will return, and it'll be like playing tennis.
Okay, mine will be golf first.
Okay.
And so, as if the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune weren't enough for Craig Statler, it appears there is yet still another in the quiver.
And And it's interesting to note that the Minnesota Twins, who just 5 short years ago were at the bottom, now 5 years later are at the top, but unhappy about it.
So then he would go, and isn't it ironic that on the seventh day of the seventh month of the year, 7 Twins come up with only 7 hits in their 7th ball game?
And also, it's interesting to note that 7, while having great significance biblically, perhaps more in an Old Testament sense than a new, as Mickey Mantle once said in regard to his number 7, he said, you know, I hadn't thought of it.
Brilliant. Thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Miller, it's been our distinct pleasure, and please, if you could, in 3 months when you come back through, please come back on with us. We'd love to hear from you again.
Yeah, call me sometime when I'm awake.
You got it, sir. Thank you.
We'll see you at the ballpark.
Okay.
You know, Jeff, if I heard you by yourself, I would have said that's pretty good, but he blew your doors.
Didn't he? I'm telling you.
Did you hear in case people were wondering, which a lot of people were probably wondering, which was Jeff, which was John? John was the funny one.
Did you hear what Johnny said just as he left?
Yeah.
I said, well, thank you very much for being with us, sir. He goes, thank you. Take a break. We'll be right back with the KQ Sports Update right after this.
We're talking with the world's most critical human being.